Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years now, we've been asking the entrepreneurs one on one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris LaRocca, the founder of the Crush Red franchise. And Crush Red is carving out a distinct niche in the fast casual restaurant segment, dubbed Artisan Fast. And we're going to talk to Chris about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we got a great show.
Looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing: helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities, or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris LaRocca, the founder of Crush Red. And Crush Red is carving out a distinct niche in the fast casual restaurant segment, dubbed Artisan Fast. Hi, Chris. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Marty. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, Chris. It's great to have you on the show. You know, we do so many of these shows. We've been doing them 8 years now. And, you know, like, we're at the point where we get a lot of requests for franchises to come on the show. And we said, this is it. This is something really different. I mean, Crush Red, certainly, it solves a problem, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, we've taken the fast casual niche and we've elevated it to be chef-driven. And it's... You know, as you said, we're developing a segment called Artisan Fast, and fast casual just continues to evolve, and it's a wide open territory.
Yeah, it really is. It's fantastic. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning, Chris?
St. Louis. It's a balmy 6 degrees here today.
Oh, is it really?
Of course.
I'm not
preaching
to
the choir with you, right?
Yeah, we're not that far from you. You know, we're just a state away, really. You know, we're in Pennsylvania, so it's just as cold here. And I think it's actually supposed to get colder tomorrow, believe it or not, you know. So it's, you know, spring can't come soon enough, can it?
Well, it doesn't compare, no matter what happens, it doesn't compare to last year. So we're,
it's all downhill.
Right.
That's true. It does not compare to last year. You know, it really is something. You were there at the beginning, Chris. You know, I mean, when this whole thing happened, you know, maybe you could talk a little bit, you know, about, you know, how you got involved. You know, you came up with the concept and describe the history of Crush Red.
Sure, absolutely. I'm a chef-driven restaurant guy for 30 years, and I was asked to join a large restaurant company, 200 restaurants international, that was kind of stuck in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they wanted to, they were losing their franchise partners to new concepts.
Mm.
And, excuse me. And they wanted to, they wanted me to develop something that was new, was in fast casual. And this is 2004, mind you. So this is 10, 11 years ago when fast casual was really just emerging. And I spent 18 months between Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., getting inside of every fast casual I could and understanding how it works and where the opportunities were. And after 18 months, I developed a concept for this company. But all along, I was cherry-picking ideas for myself and just kept this concept, Crushed Red, on the shelf for about 8 years before I had an opportunity to open it. And we did. And, you know, again, you know, I could go on for hours, but you know, the foundation of the concept was to be where the other fast casuals were not.
Right.
The void being most fast casuals struggled during the dinner hour. They did great for breakfast and lunch. Their liquor sales were stagnant, and the finishes were not such that you felt very, very comfortable. You know, you got in for a purpose, and that was to fuel up with some food and get on with your day. And I wanted to develop a concept that had this edgy Boulder, Colorado feel, very comfortable with an emphasis on wine and beer and chef-driven food that elevates the concept. And so Crushed Red's it. We operate under this healthy halo of you know, saving the earth one kitchen at a time.
Right.
You know, we're 100% sustainable. We recycle our compost everything.
That's
you know, unlike most of the fast casuals out there, again, being where the others are not.
Yeah.
We serve off of China, you know, real glassware, linen napkins, and, you know, we don't do paper and we don't do plastic. And it's part of that elevated experience, and guests appreciate it. And our pricing is, you know, the same as any other fast casual out there. So it really is eye-opening.
That was a surprise, too, Chris. I mean, when I was watching, you know, cause, you know, we do a lot of research, and, you know, when I was watching some of the news clips on Crushed Red, I said, wow, you know, it really looks expensive. But then, you know, when I saw it, in fact, I saw you on TV, you know, mentioning that, you know, it really isn't more expensive than the other places, and used a very strong word. You know, what I get out of the, you know, Crushed Red is it's really an experience, isn't it, that you get to actually watch, you know, the servers actually make the food in front of you, and it just has this whole experience to it, doesn't it?
It is. It's a show, and you know, we dine out to be entertained. Subliminally, we want that entertainment value. We want more than just, as I said, fueling ourselves with a meal and moving on with our day. But we want to do it. We demand higher quality, whether it's from our finishes interior-wise as a guest or from the quality of food that we put in our bodies. And we want to... we want to do what's right. And again, at Crushed Red, if I don't care what I put into my body, and you and I go to lunch or dinner, and you're very, very aware of the planet and aware of foods and their origin, we're not in your face tree hugging. So neither one of us is going to be offended, you know, but you're going to appreciate it for the values that we have. And I'm not going to feel like, oh, my gosh, you know, is this a throwback from the 1960s, you know, Haight Ashbury? You know, we appeal to a broad audience, but we also don't try to be all things to all people.
Absolutely. The name is very clever. I mean, when I first heard it, Crushed Red, I said, wow, that sounds like a really cool concept. What is it? I mean, how do you respond to someone when they ask you, you say, you know, how do you describe Crushed Red? And who gets credit for the name, by the way?
I'm guilty as charged. my partner is an IP, an intellectual property attorney, and I originally wanted to call the concept Urban Flats.
Okay.
And he said, Chris, you can't do that because there's a company in Florida that has that name. I'm like,
I see.
You know, I respect you know, what we're doing. But I wanted a name that conjured up an image, something, you know, maybe a little sexy, a little, you know, kind of what is it? And so So one morning, I think my wife was saying, she goes, oh, you know, what about, you know, crushed, you know, like orange crush, something like that.
Yeah.
And being in the restaurant business, you know how when you go into a Mexican restaurant,
yeah,
they abbreviate everything. So instead,
yes,
of guacamole, it's guac.
Yeah,
So in the business, crushed red is short for crushed red pepper.
Pepper,
so
right.
It's funny because about 50% of the people that hear the name immediately connect to, oh, crushed red pepper. Percent are like, well, is it like crushed red tomato or crushed red for wine? They don't
right.
know. But the magic is they're talking about it. It
they're
conjures up an
it.
Image. And so we accomplished what we wanted with that.
You did, and I'm a marketing professor, so I love that stuff. And when I heard the name, it just had a nice ring to it. You know, I said, wow, that sounds really cool. What is it? You know, and I think that's probably the question that comes after that, you know. So I think you did a fantastic job with that. Your industry, I mean, are there numbers on your industry, Chris? I mean, I guess because you are unique, you know, what kind of numbers are we talking?
In the restaurant industry, staggering. I mean,
it's in the billions. Yeah, I mean, more people are eating out
today.
It's like
$650 billion dollars.
Yeah.
We employ in the restaurant industry over 13 million employees in the U.S.
Yeah.
And there's actually, I think there's north of 600 billion restaurants in the U.S. So it's an impactful industry. And think through it. I mean, who do you know that hasn't worked in a restaurant, either as
that's
a career
true.
Or,
right.
you know, or as a holdover until they, you know, until they get a quote-unquote real job, which, you know, right now it's serious stuff, you know, careers,
yeah.
et cetera. So, you know, I've been in this thing, gosh, I just turned 58 yesterday, and I started when
wow.
I was 9 years old working for my dad. So
that's fantastic.
I say I'm not smart enough to do anything else. I was destined, but I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, happy birthday to you first to start it off there. And, you know, also experience, it's very important too, Chris. I mean, is, you know, one of the, you know, we've been doing the show now 8 years, you know, and we've heard from a lot of, like, you know, big names in franchising and experts. And they always say, you know, to look towards the leadership of the franchise. And that's what I got out of you is, I mean, this for you is more than, it's not an occupation. It's an obsession, it seems like. I mean, you've been doing it forever now, you know, and you'll probably be doing it the rest of your life, I assume.
No doubt. In fact, my wife and I kid, she plays the lottery, and she goes, okay, well, if, you know, if we win the lottery, you know, here's what I'm going to do. And what if you won? What are you going to do? I said, if I won, open up more restaurants. She's like, you're
exactly.
crazy. You're diseased. But I would. I absolutely would.
Yeah, it is. That's what I got out of it, too, is you're very passionate about, you know, what you're doing, which I think is certainly going to add to, you know, the success of Crush Red. Has there been anything that has, you know, I'm sure you've had a lot of interesting experiences. Has there been anything that has stood out or that you consider, like, the most interesting since launching the concept?
Since launching the concept, I mean, we've really learned a lot, and we got into this thing wanting to control every little aspect of the business, every part of the process.
Yeah.
And interestingly, we started with an oven that we found at a restaurant show in Chicago, and it was so new when we were bringing this thing in, the fire marshal was like, hey guys, I've never seen anything like this before. I don't know how to approve it.
Right.
And so we went back to the manufacturer, which was actually out of Sweden, and they really couldn't provide us with any specifications. And
wow.
and I physically got sick, Marty, and said, if I just spent $500,000 to
yeah.
build a concept based around a single piece of equipment,
right?
And if I get through this, I am going to manufacture my own oven and control every bit of the process. And
right.
sure enough, you know, the fire marshal was just a cool guy, and
yeah.
he worked with us. We got open, and I immediately started out, and we manufacture our own ovens now here in St. Louis. But so that was a pretty impactful piece that came about it since
wow.
opening. You know, we didn't see that coming either.
I guess you never do you, Chris? There's always like you always hear those great stories, and I think that story is going to add to the history of Crush Red. You know, talking about it 10 years down the road, it's fascinating. I saw the ovens on one of the television segments, and I thought the ovens were fascinating. I mean, do you want to talk a little bit about them while we're on the topic?
Sure. It is. It's a double stack oven. In fact, we're.
Yeah.
I'm going to test tomorrow the next iteration, which is an electric version. But it is it's gas fired. Think about when you go to a pizzeria,
right?
The pizza goes into this brick oven, and there's somebody mm-hmm. that stands there most of the time
right.
with what's called a pizza peel, and they kind of move that pie.
Yeah.
around from the cool spots and hot spots to get an even
yeah.
cook on it.
Right.
But what we did was we put our stone, our baking stone, on a turntable. So it's rotating. And you can put the pizza in, walk away, and it'll cook evenly because it's constantly rotating. It's a 90-second bake. So from the time we stretch our pizza dough, and top it, and it goes in the oven. It's exactly 90 seconds. It's like watching a fast motion camera where
yeah.
this thing's bubbling and browning. Very cool, and we will
yeah.
not, you know, we don't sell those. That's proprietary to the concept, but it
wow.
adds value to the concept. And you just don't see that anywhere else. You really don't.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Again, I've been doing the show a long time now. I've never seen anything like it. And it's, you know, the first thing that came out was, wow, that's a cool concept, you know. I mean, it really is. It's very clever. What types of characteristics would you be looking for in your franchisees, Chris?
Well, obviously, I think you could probably tell, you know, I'm passionate about what we do.
Yeah.
We want somebody. We want franchise partners that are passionate.
Right.
I spent time with a company that taught me how not to treat franchisees, and I don't look at them as franchisees. We really, really view them as partners. But they're going to be the type of individual, A, that I want to spend time with socially, that I want to spend time with, you know, that share the same values, that understand
yeah.
our culture. You know, so that's maybe a little bit about the personality. The franchise partners that we're moving forward with are committed to knowing that we are going to evolve, that we will constantly evolve to keep just a razor-sharp competitive edge over what else is out there. So they
right.
have to be fluid, got to be fluid.
Mm-hmm.
We have not signed any single restaurant deals.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is an area development agreement. We're
right.
looking for a more mature and better operators than we are,
right.
ones that have operated a multitude of restaurants and will build out an area, for instance, rather than one-off. And obviously, you know, all the financial pieces, you know, the financial wherewithals have to be
sure.
in place, and, you know, they've
right.
got to have the abilities to build. And if they, you know, if they hit a snag, they're going to have to be able to weather that storm financially and move on.
Sure.
We've said no to more than we've said yes to at this point.
Yeah.
It's a very slow, methodical growth for us. But hopefully that gives you a view as what we're looking for as far as the characteristics of a franchise partner.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it looked like you were moving into, was it the Denver area, Chris? Was that the most recent?
We are. We are.
Great
we've
location.
Got, yeah, they're going to do 6 locations in Denver,
wow.
and they have Denver and Boulder, and they've got the right of refusal to do 5 more. So
wow.
Those first 2 will be open this summer. We're very excited about that because that's where it all started. You know, this fast casual thing all started out in Denver.
Right.
And
that's true.
They're very, very excited about it. And these guys came to me before we were even franchising, and happened to be looking for a concept. They were looking for a street taco concept, and
right.
We're visiting St. Louis, visiting their sister in St. Louis, and she's like, hey, you know what, let's go out to dinner. There's a really cool place that I think you guys you'll dig. And Jim is our franchise partner now in Denver. He said he set foot in it, and he said immediately, you know, restaurant guys can walk in and they can just see, is it buttoned
yeah,
up? Is there a
tell.
Flow? What's the vibe? And, you know, he sent me an email and said, you know, I'm looking, are you franchising?
Right.
You were not at that point in time. And I were, you know, this was a little less than a year ago. I was in a lot of calls at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take time, you talk with people about, you know, what their vision is, what we're doing. And more often than not, it doesn't work out. And I said, hey, Jim,
yeah.
if you're really interested, come to St. Louis.
And right,
lo
right.
and behold, 2 weeks later, he was in St. Louis. And it was the week that we finalized our franchise disclosure documents,
wow.
Jim signed on. So he's going hard. He's excited.
Sounds like a Ray Kroc story. Someone walks into like a restaurant, they recognize the opportunity of, you know, the Ray Kroc recognizing McDonald's, you know, saying, wow, this is a great concept, you know, and, you know, they weren't franchising at the time, but, you know, it again, it sounds like it's going to go down in the history books for Crush Red. What I like about the whole thing, too, is your experience, Chris. I mean, you have experience in franchising, you know what I mean? So, you know, you can relate to, and again, I know you don't call them franchisees, but your partners, you know what I mean? So you can say, and I think that's so important, isn't it?
No doubt. And we've gotten some great notoriety. People accusing us of being the next Panera, and
yeah.
we're like, hey, you know, we love it, but
yeah.
we're staying very true to our pattern. We're proving out the math.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to our business model is we will not build anything else franchise wise within 120
right.
miles of St. Louis.
Wow.
We're going to keep that for company growth because
mm-hmm.
you know the thought process is. How do you go out and tell a franchisee that you're going to, you've got a new menu item or you have a new
right.
Point of sale, you know, piece of equipment if you haven't proven it out yourself in your own business?
Right.
And, you know, you can't say, hey, trust me. That doesn't go very far.
That's true.
So they've got to see it. They've got to touch it. They've got to understand that you've got skin in your own game and that you get it. So. That's our model. In fact, I was on the phone yesterday with a lady in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is about an hour away, and
yeah.
you know, she wanted to do a franchise. And I said, you know, thank you, but, you know, we can't, and here's why. And, you know, thanks
right.
for being a fan. So,
right.
you know, we're staying very true to our model.
Yeah, and I think that's so important to the success of a franchise, isn't it? You know, it's the ability to say no, especially in the beginning. I understood, you know, with, you know, again, doing the show so long that it was, for some franchises, it was hard to say no to a lot of, you know, people that want, they believe in your concept and they love your concept, but it's just, you know, not the right timing or whatever it may be. It just may not be the right match, you know. So I think that's so important. You've been involved in franchising and your industry such a long time now, Chris. Our listeners, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. I mean, most of them have it in their head that, you know, they want to get into franchising, but we find that most of them, they don't even know where to begin because there's so much out there today. What advice would you give to them from all of your experience of doing this such a long time now?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you have to work in the business. You have to,
mm-hmm.
I would say, you need to have owned your business. You need to understand that when things don't go as planned, and they don't go as planned, what do you do? What's plan B?
Right.
You know, when you have a winter like we had last year and sales
mm-hmm.
are down the tubes,
right.
And you've got to, you know, how do you financially make it through? So
yeah.
I think it's critical that you've been in the business either as an owner or a multi-unit operator to understand everything that can go bad. Just because it will go out, get experience. And if you're a potential franchise partner, and let's say you've got a pot of dough and you want to get into the restaurant business,
right.
by all means, get an experienced operator. Partner with somebody that's going
yeah.
to have an equity stake or going to have skin in the game. That's there for the long haul, that can keep you from standing or stepping on those landmines that are going to come up. I think maybe one of the last things I would say is don't have thin skin. I mean,
mm-hmm.
things are not going to work out. Nothing ever works exactly as planned.
Yeah.
Plan B, but you've got to be very open, for some hard advice and some hard direction, and can't be thin-skinned in this business, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I like how you said that, too, is you got to be open. You know, I think that's so important for people, you know, is to be open to advice, you know. Sometimes I think people get into the business and they're not open. They're just very closed-minded, you know, and I think that open-mindedness, just asking, you know, experts or people like yourself, you know, from your experience, what should I do in this case? What should I do in that case? I think that's very important to success. Because you're the founder of the company, I mean, I can ask you this question. So, I mean, where do you see the company maybe like 3 to 5 years down the road, Chris?
Oh, wow. We've got, you know, we have a group in the United Kingdom that wanted to, I mean, they wanted to buy into the company.
Wow.
And we were far down the road. And, I mean, these guys are monsters. If I told
wow.
you who they were associated with, you would immediately know them. And
yeah.
We got into some very deep discussions, and this was about 4 months ago. I finally just said, you know what, guys, I'm going to pull the plug on this because
yeah.
I think our end game and yours are not synced up. And let me tell you, that was a lot of cash we were
wow.
talking about. But
yeah.
we were focused on the brand and the longevity of the brand and the culture. And so that's where we'll stick. So in 3 to 5 years, we're going to continue to open. This year, we'll get 2 for sure, possibly 3 more company restaurants open. And then we'll do a pace of 4 to 5 a year beyond that. The franchise system, we're going to get 4 or 5 open this year. And then it'll grow at a pace of probably 9 to 12 a year after that. So we see this in probably 4 years being over 50 units. And
wow.
if we get a strategic partner on board, we could see it going much bigger than that. But we're focused on our growth, and, you know, we'll just deal with what comes a day at a time.
That's fantastic. Well, I can't wait for you to come to Easton, Pennsylvania. You know, I was telling my wife this morning, I said, I think you guys would do great here. And I'm sure everyone that goes into a Crush Fred says the same thing, as either say, I wish I owned one of these, or, you know, this would do great in my area, you know. So it really is, it's a wonderful and great concept. And what's the best way for our listeners, Chris, to get more information on the franchise? Any websites that you'd like them to go to?
Yeah, go to our website. It's crushed-red.com.
Okay.
And there's a lot of info on there. There's a franchise button, and, you know, pretty much anything you want to know is on the website. And that's what I'd encourage the listeners to do.
Yeah, it's a great website, by the way, too. Very informative. There's a lot of great information on there, video clips and stuff like that, that gives you a really good idea, you know, on who you are and what you guys do. So I think it's a wonderful concept, and I'm going to keep my eye on you, and already invite you back next year as you continue to grow, Chris. I think this is a wonderful concept.
Marty, thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Chris. And we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews, approaching that magic number 250. And during that time frame, you can imagine we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Last week, we did a Franchise Rewind with Tariq Fareed. And Tariq is the founder of the Edible Arrangements Franchise Opportunity. And if you're new to franchising, or if you just started your franchise search, this will really put things in perspective as far as what makes a successful franchisee. So we're going to call this one the Franchise Secret. Do whatever this guy says, and I think you're going to enjoy this one. So, again, enjoy this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.
With diversity, too, it sounds like of your franchisees, Tariq, you know, in studying edible arrangements, you know, I mean, it sounds like it's been lawyers and accountants and just a nice mix, you know?
A very nice mix to a point, you know, even to a point where it surprised us in the beginning. And I remember when we started franchising in the beginning, I had no franchise experience. I mean, I was a retailer, and I was making this product with my brother and delivering it. And you would have people coming up and saying, I want to buy a franchise. And, you know, Don could appreciate this because he's been here, you know, for a while. Another, I remember talking to Michael Saeed and everyone. And, somebody would say, I'm a lawyer. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. And so they go, wait a minute, you want to go from a lawyer and cutting fruit? You know, it doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
You know, and then we have some of these people in our system right now, and they're very, very successful business people. And I have the utmost admiration for them to... You know, where I kind of was hesitant, and I remember I always share a story with people that I had some people come in the beginning, and I was convincing them not to buy because I really didn't want them to fail.
Right.
And I thought they had good careers and things like that, but they turned out to be incredible franchisees where they own 5, 6, 7 stores, so they do great.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of if you just follow the system, no matter what your background is, and usually age might not have to do with it much either. Of course, the older you are, more experience, maybe you have a little bit of an advantage, but really, you just follow the system, you know, you train them in everything, a very high chance of being successful.
And that's really the secret. I mean, I have we do our discovery days, and I always try to share that with even the prospects. So whatever system you go into, you know, there's a reason you're buying a franchise. And one of my most successful franchisees, who was our third store, I walked into his store after about a year of convincing him how to do it, and he was a successful businessman before that, and he always gave me a bit of a hard time. And then, you know, he kind of saw that we were going in a certain momentum, and he started to follow, and he sat in front of his whole crew one day and said, okay, guys, from now on, whatever these guys say goes. However they say it, we do it. We don't question it, and when their trainers come in or they come in, and he is the most successful franchisee in our system. He is single-handedly the most successful franchisee in our system. And all it is that as he's duplicated, you know, his concept from one store to two to three to four, he followed that simple formula. And, you know, the burden was on us to make sure that we provide him the solutions, provide him the support, be it him, his managers, and from that he benefited. And he's, you know, he may have 1 or 2 years of experience of running the stores. We had 5 or 6 by then. So that's exactly what it has done, and it does work every time.
Yeah, that's a great story, Tara, because it's been a common theme on our show, Don, hasn't it? Where we've had some of the most successful franchisees to some pretty big systems, and they've all said the same thing, Tara, because all they did was just follow the system. You know, they didn't change anything, and became very successful. You know, so that's great to hear.
And especially if it's working, if you're
right.
getting on board a system that is working, that is growing, you know, what do they say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, so
absolutely.
Why do anything? Just take advantage of it. And I always use that analogy of, you know, with some of our franchisees to say, you know, I hate to take it down to this level, but it is kind of a kindergartner / sixth grader effect, where I've been in this building 6 years, so I kind of know every corner and the nook and cranny, and I know how the principal, what he likes and what he doesn't like. You need to learn, so let me teach you. You know, so you're coming in, and then you see, and you see some incredible transformation. We have some incredible stories, and I'm sure every franchise system does. And the success that we have, you know, it has to do with these great franchisees that we've had that have taken on and actually listened and applied some of the policies and procedures and technologies and other things that we created to make them successful.
Right. I guess, Tarek, sometimes, you know, yourself or your staff, if you see a prospect maybe sometimes a little too entrepreneurial, you know, I guess you really have to, you know, speak to them to let them know that, you know, it might not be a fit, you know, with your company.
We used to do, I remember in the beginning doing that a lot to let people know that, you know, I love your passion, I love your energy and everything, but you keep talking about your experiences and how you've done stuff. There may be a bit of a conflict there. We may always get into a bit of a tussle. So you have to look at this, that we have systems and standards, and we've experimented with these. We've actually mastered them, and we've proven them at multiple times. So you may want to turn around and try it a different way, but it's really not going to work. More, not necessarily only for yourself, but for the total success of the system, because there is consistency in everything, and we know what's going to work. So we have those conversations, but once you get to a certain number, a certain mass in your system, that comes up less and less. And I think there's a class of prospects or franchisees or new owners that start coming to you after a while to say, look, I want to duplicate what you've done. How do I do it? And they don't want to turn around and start from scratch. And that was great when we started to get a lot of existing franchise prospects, meaning they were in other systems, and when they came into our system, they found success very, very quickly because they had gone through those processes, and we gave them some tools that they did not have before, and they saw some benefits that they had not seen before, or had already gone through the process where we didn't really need to explain, and they turned their stores around very, very quickly.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.